No one has been furloughed yet because of sequestration, but agencies are already feeling the impact of those budget cuts. It has changed how Border Patrol agents, transportation security officers, and other federal employees do their jobs. Federal News Radio Executive Editor Jason Miller joins us now with details. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning, Tom and Emily.
So let's start with those employees I just mentioned. What is happening with the Border Patrol and the TSA?
Well, both the Border Patrol and TSO agents have been told that from their respective agencies, Customs and Border Protection and the Transportation Security Administration, that those agencies are going to deal with cuts from sequestration by ending overtime for workers. Stacy Botman is a TSO officer and vice president of the American Federation of Government Employees in Region 1.
Right now, TSA lives on overtime. That's how we man a lot of the lanes that are open. We're also short-staffed in a lot of the airports. That overtime fills that gap. So right now, many of the airports, you're going to see shorter lanes open, which isn't going to increase the lines. But for right now, the furlough, we have been able to avoid that so far. But it's not a guarantee.
And TSA isn't alone when it comes to losing overtime. Border Patrol agents will no longer be allowed to work overtime starting April 7th. In fact, I was speaking with one Border Patrol union representative yesterday after AFGE's press conference, and he tells me overtime is a way of life for Border Patrol agents. And it's not because they have a desire to have more money. I mean, I guess we all have that in some ways. But because CBP can't hire enough staff to man the borders and just how big and how vast the borders are. For instance, he tells me some agencies have to travel an hour or more to get to their stations and oversee their areas of responsibilities. Additionally, if they have to arrest illegal immigrants, they have to complete that paperwork many times, and overtime is necessary to get that done before their job is done for the day. So it's not just about milking the system and grabbing that extra few hours to get more money. It's really part of the job in many ways. Sean Moran is a vice president of AFGE's National Border Patrol Council. He says between the loss of overtime and the potential furloughs of 14 days, some agents could see a 40% pay cut.
We're seeing impacts already on the border. The Rio Grande Valley sector, specifically the McAllen, Texas Border Patrol Station, 10 days ago apprehended 1,000 illegal aliens in one weekend. And the agents would question the illegal aliens as to why they were crossing. And they were under the understanding that they would be released from our detention facilities and that there would be no consequences. These weren't groups that we were chasing. These were groups of hundreds that would come across and sit down and surrender. So that is a definite concern for our agents. The cuts go into effect regardless of sequestration for the Border Patrol on April 7th. And we fear that is a salary that we will never get back. And it's one that the Border Patrol has paid since at least the 1960s. And they're still advertising in hiring sprees that they're going to be paying this regular and reoccurring overtime. And it's just a flat out lie.
Now, the furloughs and cuts to overtime are equivalent to having 5,000 fewer border agents on the job, AFGE says. Now, AFGE brought representatives from several agencies into town yesterday for a press conference to talk about the impacts of sequestration at the field offices level, and these were from around the country in different agencies.
All right, I can see how overtime could reduce service. What are some other federal employees dealing with that could impact their missions besides overtime reduction?
There's definitely a lot going on. So take the Social Security Administration. They started to offer early retirements, and this was just last week that they made that offer. We're not talking about buyouts here, but just saying if you're eligible, you can get out early. Steve Kofel is a vice president of AFGE's National Council Field Operations Locals at SSA, and I caught up with him yesterday after the press conference to discuss those SSA's early outs.
It was a wide window of time during which employees could request the opportunity to leave this fiscal year to retire a bit earlier than usual. And our concern is that not only is this going to accelerate the loss of workers at our agency and increase stress for everyone who's left behind, but it's also going to have a tremendous impact on the public because our most experienced workers are the ones who are eligible for these early outs.
Let me clarify. There's some difference between early outs and buyouts.
With early outs, people can retire if they have enough years of service and have reached age 50, for instance. But there is no cash up front as there is with a buyout. We did ask the agency about buyout possibilities so that we could avoid furloughs, but the agency decided that they weren't going to do that, that they were going to offer early outs over an extended period instead.
Now, Kofel says SSA's workforce has been fairly stable, and there hasn't been too many employees who have taken those buyouts or early outs in previous attempts. But he says the working environment is getting more stressful, and people are strongly considering leaving. He says he uses a couple of things. This is the second year of the hiring freeze for SSA. They've closed 47 offices and 300 contact stations, and they've cut office hours by 23% across the board on average. SSA needs to find a way to cut $386 million from its budget under sequestration. Now, they're not alone. The Bureau of Prisons is also feeling what I'm going to call the prequester effects, where sequestration quite hasn't taken effect yet. Dale Deschodel is a president of AFGE's Council of Prison Locals. He says even before the Bureau has to reduce its budget by $338 million, in part by furloughing employees for 12 days, there are other changes happening today.
And for Bureau of Prisons officers, there's going to be no overtime, no travel, no more training. Training that is important in law enforcement. Training that has to be sudden, no time to think, reactionary, gone. Our staffing, in other words, will be cut to extremely dangerous situations. Besides furloughs, BOP has decided that because of the sequestration cuts, the planned opening of 5 new prisons with a total of 8,000 beds will be put on hold indefinitely. These new facilities were meant to relieve some of the problems of prison overcrowding. Not opening them will only worsen problems in our prison system and increase the stress, danger, and overall ineffectiveness for correction officers.
AFGE brought out several other examples, the Defense Logistics Agencies, Agriculture Department's Meat and Poultry Inspectors, and several others yesterday all talked about the impacts that they're already seeing today. And I think the takeaway from AFGE's press conference yesterday in many regards was the best put by SSA's Kofel when he says employees are feeling like they're being cut 1,000 times and having that death by 1,000 cuts.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio's executive editor, Jason Miller. So, Jason, a well-organized press conference with a lot of different voices, but do you think anybody on Capitol Hill is actually listening?
I think that's been the biggest unanswered question through all of this. And even when I've talked to lawmakers, when other people, when AFGE people tell me about their experiences with lawmakers, they seem to get it. They seem to understand the impact on federal employees. But publicly, they continue to bash feds or at least have a harder time recognizing the impact of not having these employees on their jobs. I mean, a perfect example is just recently, Congressman Blake Fahrenthold, he's the chairman of the Oversight and Government Reform Subcommittee on the Federal Workforce. It took him right up to the point of when sequestration was supposed to take effect to introduce a bill to protect feds from sequestration cuts. I've heard many people ask, well, what took so long? I mean, this was obvious 3, 4, 5 months ago. He could have had a bill passed back then. Now, I asked a very similar question at the press conference about the disconnect in Congress. J. David Cox is the national president of AFGE. He sums up the challenge using the old analogy of a frog being boiled alive but doesn't realize it because it starts in cold water.
I would believe the frog at this point is sort of in a little lukewarm water. It's still kind of cool, and it's nice to swim around in, and everyone's talking. Eventually, that water is going to get so hot that you won't be able to stand it. The sad part is I'm afraid that people are going to be boiled alive and not realize that they were in the cold water. It's not like a government shutdown. I believe this is 10,000 times worse than a government shutdown. Government shutdown, that brings the government to a halt very quickly. It gets attention. And even though in 95 we were about 2 weeks into the shutdown before the American public said we're not going to put up with this anymore. This is one of those things. Each morning you are going to wake up and the situation is going to be worse.
I mean, I think this is part of the reason why AFGE keeps having these rallies, keeps bringing their local representatives to Washington, press Congress, press the White House to do away with sequestration. And in fact, they don't just want sequestration to be limited. They want it to go away altogether and have no spending cuts. So they're even, if you will, much different than what you're hearing from the Democrats in the House and the Senate kind of asking for. Now, Cox says AFGE isn't even happy with provisions, for instance, in the House spending bill that would give DOD more flexibility, even if that could be extended to all agencies. They're not even looking for that. Now, I think the true impact of sequestration is still about 6 weeks away for most agencies, but the impact on the budget cuts, I think we're starting to see that now, and agencies are starting to feel the changes that the employees are starting to feel the changes that agencies have to make on the front end to prepare for the back end more serious cuts.
Death by a thousand cuts, boiling alive slowly. It's pretty lurid up there in federal agencies from the sound of it. Jason, is there any relief in sight? I was thinking of Customs and Border Protection and their paperwork. Couldn't they all get mobile devices and then they wouldn't have to go back to an office to file all that paperwork? They could do it right there on the spot.
I mean, that would be, in the perfect world, yes. But remember, a lot of those things cost money, right? You got to buy the tablet, you got to buy the smartphone, you got to buy the software, you got to make sure it's all, you know, certified and accredited so it's secure.
So in 5 years they could roll out.
In 5 years, exactly. And you know, the other thing is, I think that there's a lot of doom and gloom, and that's what AFGE kind of is trying to press on. But there's plenty of them. There's thousands and thousands of federal workers who are doing their job every day and doing it very well. So I think we can't lose sight of that important fact that, yes, it's bad, but things still get done in the government and still there's still plenty of good things that are happening.
All right. Federal News Radio's executive editor, Jason Miller, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.